Kia ora, bulawanaka, talo falava, kia orana, halo oketa, kam na mori, malo elele, and a warm welcome to the Business Link Pacific podcast series. Business Link Pacific connects small and medium-sized businesses across the Pacific Island region with local quality business advice. Hosted by Barbara Wilkinson and Richard Busby from Business Link Pacific, this podcast series showcases experienced professionals from our growing network of business advisors and goes deeper into business innovation, recovery, and strategy to learn from those that are weathering the storm in a post-COVID Pacific region. Business advice is more important now than ever before. Join us as our guests share invaluable expertise and a unique view on doing business in the Pacific Islands.
Welcome to the Business Link Pacific podcast. Today we're joined by Saliha Ranasinghe, CEO of CEFI in Papua New Guinea. Saliha has more than 25 years' experience in the microfinance industry, including roles as finance manager at Ceylon Oxygen and chief executive officer of Seeds Sri Lanka. Since 2002, he has been a consultant and chief technical advisor for inclusive finance, microfinance projects with renowned organizations such as the Asian Development Bank, World Bank, IFC, and UN Capital Development Fund in countries across Asia, Africa, and the Pacific. Saliha has also conducted postgraduate studies with England's Canfield School of Technology and has an MBA from the University of Lincoln, England.
Today, Saliha is going to talk with us specifically about financial inclusion, MSME development, and access to SMEs. So hello to Saliha and welcome to Business Link Pacific's podcast. Thank you for joining Richard and I today.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm looking forward for this podcast.
So tell us, Saliha, about the background of CEFI, your role and the role of CEFI.
Yeah, thank you very much. And actually, the CEFI was set up in 2013 in Papua New Guinea by two government agencies. That's Bank of Papua New Guinea, the central bank of the country, and Department of Planning and Monitoring. This was set up as a private-public partnership, where all the key stakeholders that are relevant for the financial inclusion is represented at the board level. So the organization is chaired by the governor of the Central Bank of Papua New Guinea and deputy chaired by the deputy secretary to the Ministry of Department of Planning and Monitoring. And there are other two government key government agencies who represent on the board. That's one is the Department of Treasury and the Department of Community Development. And we have private sector representatives. We have the chairman of the Commercial Bank Association, chairman of the Microbankers Association, CEO of the Savings and Federations of Papua New Guinea, and also the dean of the Institute of Banking and Business Management. And we have been operating since 2014, and our mandate was mainly involved in driving financial inclusion in the country. And we have now been able to implement two financial inclusion strategies with very good results. And we are now in the formulation process of the third strategy, which will be 2021 to 2025.
Why was there a need for a Centre for Excellence in Financial Inclusion? And perhaps you can tell us a little bit more about the historical challenges in accessing finance in PNG.
Yeah, actually, you know, I think the traditionally, the most of the financial institutions in the country were serving the top end of the pyramid, actually the poverty pyramid I refer to, and also serving the much more corporate institutions. 2002, the Central Bank of Papua New Guinea took a very bold initiative of licensing. Actually, in 2006, they licensed the first microbank in the whole region, I would say. So we basically created a specialized licensed institution which will focus on microfinance institutions. So this came through an ADB investment, which was called the Project for Microfinance and employment creation, which had the first phase from 2002 to 2010. And then they had the second phase, which was called microfinance and expansion project, called 2010 to 2019, I would say. And also, SIFI was created as part of the second microfinance project, which was ADB, DFAT-funded project. And that was mainly to sustain the main investment in financial inclusion space in the country and to take the matter forward. So when the SIFI was established, we only had about 1 million bank accounts in the country, which was a very small number. And also they were much more urban focused. And now we would like to say that we are almost reaching 3.5 or 3.6 million bank accounts, so which has really grown tremendously during the last couple of years.
So that's quite significant, really, isn't it? When you've got a population of, what, about 9 million people, you've got about 30% conversion rate there.
I think this is a very significant improvement because I think, as you know, Central Bank of Papua New Guinea made a commitment at the Alliance for Financial Inclusion in 2013 for what is popularly known as Maya Declaration, which gave specific activities they will do to drive financial inclusion in the country. So they are basically pushing forward the frontiers in this particular space.
So how or what are some of the initiatives that SIFI are using to assist SMEs in this space?
We basically introduce financial literacy into the space, which we feel it's a very, very, very important aspect. Because I think there was quite a lot of misunderstanding about the banks in the country. You know, most of the entrepreneurs and general public thought the banks are only there to obtain a loan. So we are trying to change the mindset, where we are trying to help them to start savings, have a bank account, and build a relationship over a period of time. So this financial education became a very key component of driving this thing forward. So in this particular space, for your information, we have already trained over 250,000 people in the country. And most of them have started working with banks. So that is one of the things that we have done. And also we have training programs that are designed to help them to design a small household budget. And also we give them a basic idea about what the banking services are, how you can use the banking services. And in addition to that, we also teach them things on a bank, what we call finance negotiations, because, you know, we felt that when somebody goes to a bank, he always feel the bank managers are very superior because they are not prepared. So we are trying to help them to prepare themselves before we go to the bank. And also in the areas of debt management, and also the digital financial services. We really feel that this is the future to drive financial inclusion, and especially the SME finance in the country. So in addition to that, we also work with the financial institutions to assist them to better understand the clients, and also to tailor-made some of their products to suit the real entrepreneurial needs of the country. So there is a training that was conducted under microfinance expansion project for market research and product development and so forth. So I think, in short, what we are trying to say is that we are trying to address the issues pertaining to the supply side as well as demand side, so that we can so the public can have sustainable, affordable finance for their small businesses.
It sounds like you're kind of the glue in the whole system that ties it all together, trying to translate the needs of SME customers on the one side to the banking and financial institutions, and then on the other, you know, training those SMEs to understand the banking sector.
Yeah, I think you know one of the things that recently at a workshop, I would like to state this, because, you know, whenever I go to a workshop, they think that I represent the finance sector, banking sector.
Right.
And the main complaint is the bank doesn't give loans to SMEs. You know, this is a very common feature. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I ask, you know, was that if somebody comes to your doorstep and asks for 1,000 kina, whom you have never seen in the past, will you give him 1,000 kina? You think that this guy is crazy. So this is what you're doing with the banks. You build relationship. So build confidence. Show how reliable you are. They will never let you down. So this type of understanding, I think the SEFI's role is to bring this type of knowledge to the SMEs at the same time to make the banking sector much more responsive to the needs.
You know, that sounds great. And I suppose, you know, in doing so, what you're really tackling is that whole issue of the number of businesses that are still operating in the informal sector and, you know, trying to shift them across to be participating in the formal sector. And, of course, you know, in doing so, that creates so many more opportunities for them as well.
Yes, actually, you know, for your information, I think one of the things that SEFI has decided was to much, much more focus on women-led enterprises. For your information, you know, SEFI has designed a JESSE policy for microfinance institutions. And also we have created a small desk.
Great.
And also to give them even counseling support whenever there's a need for it. And to provide them information, this is for access to finance and any other information that they want to build their relationship and to make their enterprise a success.
It sounds like you've got a number of special projects on the go as well. So perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about, for example, the partnership with Market for Village Farmers Project, which is opening up access to agricultural finance and loans for smallholders.
We are really driving the SME sector through a stakeholder engagement process, where we have what we call an advisory group, like working group where we have set up under the financial inclusion strategy. And then in that, we are looking at four areas. The first one is collecting statistics from the bank. The second one is identify opportunities and challenges in this space. And also the third is to creating a space for sharing of information among its stakeholders in this particular space. And the fourth area is where we come to the innovations, you know, supporting flagship innovative projects in SME lending in the country. So Market for Village Farmers Project is one of those flagship projects under the financial inclusion for the fresh produce sector, which is funded by EFAD and the government of Papua New Guinea. So our role in that particular project, you know, the project is targeting 25,000 village farmers who are in the fresh produce sector in six provinces of Papua New Guinea. And we actually are trying to drive financial inclusion component of that particular area where we have technical assistance. We are conducting a family-oriented training to start with. And then we also provide technical assistance through the banks and financial institutions to design new products, expand their network into the project areas, and also to train their staff and also put them in touch with the international best practice in the agriculture finance sector. So this we are looking forward for this particular project. It started last year and it will go on for a 5-year period.
Oh, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's a great project, Salih. And we know, like I said, it was one, we know you've got a number on the go, so well done there in terms of the activities you've got going on in the country.
Yeah.
As you know as well, we've also become a key partner in terms of SEFI facilitation with rolling out of the Finance Finder or the Financial Marketplace in PNG. And thank you for onboarding with us in that initiative. How can you see the Finance Finder benefiting MSMEs in PNG and complementing perhaps some of the existing SEFI tools and resources that are currently in place?
You know, I think one of the things that SEFI identified as a need for this particular sector was the need for information. So as the commencement of that, SEFI produced what we call a SME product booklet, which was produced last year. It was a hard copy where we gave them details of all the lending products for SME sector by all the banks. So I think Finance Finder is the next step, you know, logical sequence of the next step, where we really thought was a great opportunity for us to partner, where we will try to get all the banks to put their data on an online platform, which can be always updated and provide access to the SME space. I think this is a great idea, and I'm sure this will have immense benefit for the people of, especially the SME people in the country. And also SEFI, since we are partnering with this particular project, SEFI will use its existing programs such as financial literacy programs, the JESSE desk, all those places to provide information of Finance Finder. So it is not only going to be that we will make the Finance Finder work in Papua New Guinea, but we will become the promoters of Finance Finder and give avenues for SME people to have access to it as well. So we are really looking forward for this particular project, and I'm sure the people of the country will benefit immensely out of this.
So you are going to be obviously a key partner with BLP under this strategy. How many banks and FIs do you see perhaps enrolling or subscribing to the Finance Finder?
I think if you look at the financial landscape of the country, we have the commercial banks. We have four of them. And then we have what we call finance companies. We have micro banks. And then we have savings and loan societies. So altogether, we have four micro banks, I think 9 finance companies, 4 micro banks, and about 17 or 18 savings and loan societies. We really would like all of them to be part of this Finance Finder, because we would seek the support of the central bank. As you know, the governor is of SEFI, to be part of this Finance Finder, so that the people will have a good option of picking whom to go with. So I think we are talking to Bank of PNG to get their blessings on this particular thing, and also to drive it from their end, also to encourage the banks, because Bank of Papua New Guinea also is driving what we call a consumer protection legislation, which will make sure transparency of the products are very critical as well. So I think these are all in line with what is happening in the other space. So we expect all of them to be partner. But the current thinking is that when we have about 10 institutions on board, we would like to launch it and keep on improving, getting all these others into the platform as well.
Yeah, thanks, Ali. And we can actually see it as being a very busy financial marketplace there in PNG. So thank you for your work there moving forward.
And I think as well, Celia, the supplementary training that you'll be offering around that will be invaluable to SMEs in PNG.
I think it's a very critical partnership for Papua New Guinea between the two organizations, because I feel that we basically share the same mandate, and also you come up with very innovative products like the Finance Finder, which definitely SEFI wouldn't have been able to design it because of the cost involved in it. So you are bringing it on our platform, which we really appreciate, and also we will do our best to bring the message across and also to get the people participate in this particular project.
Tell us, are there any other ways that you can see your organization working closely with BLP?
We have already had some ideas about financing facilities, so we really would like to see what are the things that we can do with that. And also the risk-sharing mechanism, you know, as you know, we are pushing forward the frontiers of mitigating the lending risk for financial institutions. Already the Bank of PNG is working on designing what we call a credit guarantee corporation in the country. So these risk sharing mechanisms are going to be critical to build confidence of driving the financial institution to actively participate in this particular space. So we really would like to be part of your BLP drive And also what you have already identified are very critical for PNG, and we'll definitely would like to partner with you on all those activities.
So Leah, just on that particular issue there around the risk sharing facility, and thank you for raising that, because you are right, it's a risk sharing facility, as you know, is a real lever when it comes to reducing the risk profile for borrowers. And what that does obviously for the lenders as well is it means that because there's a lower risk attachment to the transaction, then it means that hopefully pricing can come down with rates and so on. So yeah, so I think that's a good point you raise, is that moving forward under our concessional loans program, that there is that option there for financial institutions to partner up under risk sharing facilities, and hopefully more of that will also help to overcome some of those bottlenecks and those barriers to access, especially for the SME sector. So thanks for raising that particular issue as well.
Yeah, actually, I think your program has really laid a very strong foundation to drive these activities forward. And also, we really look forward for working with your program. And I hope you will be able to seek funding for the next phase of this particular project also, because, you have already started some great initiatives to drive this finance space, targeting the lower end of the market or the SME sector. So I think it is important that we consolidate on the existing gains that you have done and also push forward the frontiers. And we would definitely like to provide our feedback and support in driving and designing the next activities in this particular space. And we really would support and be partners with you in getting, and also for your information, when you talk of Pacific, PNG is the largest. I think we have about 10 million population, and if you put the whole of rest of the Pacific together, I think it doesn't even come to half of Papua New Guinea. So I think when it works in Papua New Guinea, it will have the critical mass to demonstrate the impact of the investment that you are going to make, and we will partner with you to demonstrate that impact of the investment that you are going to make in this particular space. Thank you.
But look, listen, and I guess in summary, I just wanted to, I guess a couple of things have jumped out for me around our conversation today, and which are key, I think. So, we talk about the partnership with BLP and with CEFI. We see that as being a real strategic relationship moving forward, not just around the finance finder, but of course other opportunities moving beyond that, of course, later in the year. Some of the other things that stood out for me was your role there in PNG, and you talking around being an advisor and working groups, building up a savings versus loans culture, getting businesses loan ready. A lot of these things are obviously very key with our program as well, so we can see a lot of real synergies there with CEFI. And of course, the list goes on. You talk about your woman-led or your GC policies, access to finance for small holders, and so on and so forth. The list just goes on. So anyway, look, I'm just wondering if you have any final comments or suggestions that you'd like to make before we close off this afternoon.
Yeah, I think as I think due to the COVID also, I think we are now driving much more towards online and digital finance, as well as training to be online. Last week, we signed an agreement with ADB to reach 170 SME women in the country through three online training programs. One is called on digital financial services. So this particular training will basically focus on building the capacity and confidence of using digital finance by women entrepreneurs. And the second one is called business planning and debt management, which is much more traditional, but from a new perspective, how to manage debt and also how to design their business plans. And then finally, something on e-commerce. How can you promote, look at e-commerce platforms as a new avenue for marketing of the products of SMEs in PNG? So I think this is another important complementary activity for what we are doing. And also, we are really grateful for a BLP to partner with us. And we really look forward to working with you and make sure that the people of Papua New Guinea will benefit and there is a lasting impact on the lives of their people people in Papua New Guinea, and they'll drive towards a better standard of living. So we're really grateful and thankful for partnering with us and also to providing all this guidance, support to drive the financial inclusion activities in PNG. Thank you very much.
And thank you to Mas Saria. That's really great to hear and hear from you and all your information. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Sally, and all the best to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Looking forward.
If you're looking for financial help and are struggling due to COVID-19 crisis, you may benefit from our newest finance facility service. The goal of this new service is to assist Pacific Island SMEs to access the financial and advisory services they need to survive and prosper. Visit finance.businesslinkpacific.com for more information.
Please join us for our next podcast, where we'll chat with another special guest from our BusinessLink Pacific Advisor Network. Until then, thanks for listening. Haere rā, ka kite anō. Stay connected with BusinessLink Pacific by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. BusinessLink Pacific connect your business with quality advice.